I suppose on any normal week, we wouldn't have been too interested in the Springbok team selection for a game against Tonga. But I suppose that the small matter of Andre Pollard has made things far more interesting. Welcome to the Inside Pass, News 24's dedicated Rugby World Cup podcast. My name is Hein Schenk, and I'm joined here in the Johannesburg studio with Simnakiwe Kabanisa. And we'll also be chatting to our man on the ground in France, Kaniso Chwaku, who will give us the real insights of what's going on in the Springbok camp. But firstly, welcome, Sim. Are you excited about seeing how this this selection is going to turn out tonight when Jock Nienaber announces the squad?
How's it, Heinz? Yeah, like you say, it's a pretty massive day in terms of, you know, what the expectations are. Yeah, like you say, nobody really would care under normal circumstances if you were playing against Tonga. The big thing to look forward to, or to ask ourselves, is A, whether Pollard makes it from the start or from the bench, because we kind of do feel like, you know, he needs to play before the quarterfinals. But then, the second part is actually what kind of team are they going to pick, because they got such a long sort of 2 weeks before the quarterfinals. Do they go back, you know, to the first teamers, or do they mix it up like they've mixed it up all along?
Yeah, interesting, this new dynamic that the bye weeks have, World Rugby have actually implemented. It's quite interesting. You see, like an island, also like almost like playing. Well, we're basically almost like playing ourselves to death, actually, 4 weeks in a row, and then sort of like sit on your hands for a week. Which is, I remember Heineke Meyer always telling me, you know, that he hated actually a bye week, because he was a firm believer that it's 2 to 3 days break, you know, and then afterwards, you know, a guy is out of, you know, practice and match fitness again. So the whole science about it is going to be interesting how they manage it.
Look, I mean, a guy like Siya Kolisi missed how much rugby, and based on the boxers' training, from what I can get, the intensity of it, he came back and he played the way he did against against Wales. So from what I can glean, I don't necessarily think that would be particularly bad for them. I think the real question for them is very simple. Do they run with, you know, the guys they intend to play in the quarterfinals, or do they try and give everybody a game just in case something untoward happens before the quarterfinals?
Before we get to trucks on the ground, Sim, just your thoughts on actually picking Pollard in a game like this. I remember there was always, you know, this danger play that the guys had to, you know, had to be wary of when they play Samoa or Tonga and those type of guys. You almost like wonder what happens if Pollard gets selected, he's on the field, and then like literally 10 minutes into the game, you know, somebody gives him a big whack somewhere and then he's out again.
Yeah, look, it's probably not quite what you want to imagine, but things like that have happened. But also, I mean, by the same token, you have to say that not only has the game changed, I think the approach to physicality and or tackling of the, you know, the island teams as chalk and cheese compared to, I don't know, the 1995 days or 2007, et cetera, et cetera. So I just, hopefully it doesn't happen. But if it does happen, you know, to be brutally honest, we kind of carry on as we have. We just need a kicker all over again.
I suppose it is. Yeah, indeed. And some also the other big question, which you already touched on, is do you play the A side, or actually perhaps a mixture of the B side? Because like we mentioned, you might as well actually, in inverted commas, risk playing the A team to keep them fresh for the potential quarterfinal instead of having them miss 2 weeks off rugby.
Yeah, look, that's exactly the waiting decision-wise that, you know, that Jacques Nienaber and Rassie Erasmus are going to have to sort of factor into what team they're going to end up with for this game. It's a simple, like you say, it's the simple math of, do you keep your guys sort of battle hardened? And then there's always a, you know, it's a very, very fine line between battle hardened and battle weary. But I think in our case, given that the South African players have only played what, 2 games with what looks like a starting lineup, then maybe there isn't as much of a problem, simply because, well, they've played guys that, you know, they've played twice. Whereas if you look at Ireland, totally different scenario. They started the series, they started the tournament with, you know, they best team, even though they were playing the lesser teams in the group. And then obviously they had to play, you know, the same team against South Africa in their third game. And then when they do play their last game, granted they've got, you know, they've got a bye, which may or may not help, you know, then they're going to have to, you know, play their best team against Scotland just to make sure that, you know, they don't go for a sucker punch there. So it's you know, totally different in terms of approaches, but I imagine that the box, have sort of just about enough in terms of balance-wise between guys, you know, still interested in ripping into contact and, you know, guys that just, you know, will pick up a game at any cost. And that's obviously the guys that you look at, you know, guys that didn't play this past weekend.
One of the interesting aspects to me about this whole selection speculation is that even though the indications are very strong that Pollard will be playing regardless, and I think we know that he has to. I mean, there's simply no other way. But one of the interesting dimensions to this whole debate is that should it come at the expense of Marnie Leboek? Or given this whole new paradigm, and I mean, it's not necessarily just the Springboks is thinking. I mean, we have guys at the Bulls, you know. Jake White basically does not buy a backline player if he can't play at least three positions nowadays. So what I'm just wondering is will the Springboks actually decide that they can accommodate both? And or should it come, or if they are going to pick Pollard, should it come at the expense of Marnie Leboek? Because I think as we've reiterated for the past few days now already, is that there's simply nothing wrong with Marnie Leboek's general play. It's been sound. In fact, like we also mentioned, it almost feels that the Springboks actually can't play at the moment without him because they're in such a attacking groove with Marnie as the playmaker nowadays that it would actually be like a shock if he would be yanked out of the system now. So one of the interesting points for me then is that do we foresee a scenario, and I suppose this is something we can ask Trux as well, a scenario of Marnie Leboek shifting to fullback maybe because he has played there before, and then maybe shifting Damian Willemse to midfield and having Andre Pollard just stay in his trusty pivot position. I was just sort of like wondering what your thoughts might be on it.
Yeah, look, I think the important thing to sort of take on board about playing Andre Pollard is if you go back to when he was playing for the Bok team, they desperately needed a guy like Willy Leroux at fullback, just to make sure that, you know, the creativity or the ability to create off the backs, because for all his qualities, i.e. BMT experience and ability to kick at goal, he's probably not the best distributor and probably doesn't have the best vision in terms of, you know, what that entails. But, you know, they could always outsource those responsibilities to someone like Willy Leroux first and then someone like Lucanio Arm secondary. Both those guys are not playing. And because they're not playing, what then happens is if you insert Pollard into the current backline that we view as the first team backline, he then has Damien Dialende and Jesse Creel, which kind of gives your midfield, you know, sort of the creative outlook of a blunt object, if I may be blunt, you are. And so as a result, you kind of lose that creative influence. And when you do have a guy, say, like Damian Willemse at fullback, although they're trying to turn him into a Willy, and because he's played at 10 and at 12, currently, because of his athleticism, ability to step, speed, and explosiveness, he's still kind of a striking fullback as opposed to a creative fullback. And so as a result, it kind of leaves you with literally one guy. It's a bit like we had CI as the only open side flanker against the Irish in the first half. That basically hurts your chances anyway. So what you probably could do is go back to what the, you know, what these coaches did in the British and Irish Lions, where you're going to have Pollard doing, you know, almost playing the Morne Steyn role, where he's going to come on and do the kicking and close the game out as the experienced guy, whereas you've actually started the game with something, you know, with a backline that has the cohesion now, having played so many times together. I think that's probably, for me, would be, you know, the solution. But then, you know, the one thing you don't want is you lose the bomb squad, you know, the whole 6-2 split, because I'm not sure you can have Pollard on the bench as, you know, the player 23 who needs to play more than three positions. So, yeah, that's kind of, you know, there has to be a sort of like a concession to be made if you're going to play both of them. And I think this is the nearest thing to an elegant solution, if I should call it that.
Our man on the ground is Kaniso Troku, who's been diligently and brilliantly, I might add, reporting from France on the Springboks' progress. Welcome back, Trox. It's nice to chat to you again. I suppose the feeling on the ground there in Toulon is the buzzing about where does Pollard and where does Lebok fit in?
Good morning, gentlemen, and good morning to the listeners. Look, it's a tricky one because, I mean, Sim makes a very valid point in terms of if you pick Pollard, you need to pick an auxiliary playmaker because he simply doesn't have the playmaking gifts that come with a Marnie Lebok. I mean, the whole we go to Damien Willems and Marnie playmaking base. So,
excuse me, we just have some connection issues at the moment. We apologize for that.
With all his game time before the playoffs. So there isn't any other game where Pollard can actually be trialed, except for the Tonga game. I think now how he is normally accommodated, as Senigiwe rightly says, that is by having Billy Leroy fullback. One needs to remind that Billy actually didn't play against Romania, against Tonga, which means that he should probably be in a position to start against Tonga on Sunday. I think then it begs the question of whether Pollard will actually start or come off the bench. I suspect Bok management can err to the side of caution and actually gradually press Pollard from the bench and actually start with a Damien Willems, but also realizing that Damien Willems has featured in all three games and is a critical component of the boxes, of the boxes play through the World Cup, and he's been very good. So I wouldn't be surprised if they'll actually go in the direction of actually going for Mali at fullback and then Willy on the bench so that Andre Pollard is actually ill in the second half, knowing that he's a little playmaker, filling the route to look off playmaking duty, but he just focuses on a tactical stuff.
Trox, just also a final one from us up here. There's obviously scope for some change, like you just mentioned, in the back line. Do you believe it's going to be the same up front? Because there's a view, though, that even though you might want to rest guys like Pieter Steyn and CR, even a guy like Eben after their exertions against Ireland, there is this other factor of a bye week next week. So some might actually advocate playing them and then letting them actually just rest for 1 week instead of, you know, sitting on their hands for 2 weeks. Are there any indications that the pack might change in your view?
No, they should. They should because, again, the Tonga game can and will be an injury banana skin. Because Tonga, even though they are without Bias Peter, who is suspended for 3 games, they remain a very physical side. And I think the last thing you want is for your mainstream players to get injured in a game like Tonga. Yes, it is a must-win game, but it's also a game where you are in a position to mix and match your pack. I mean, for example, Vincent Koch is in need of game time as opposed to starting against Romania. Came off with that knee injury before the start of the game, so he has to play. Dion Fury has to start because you also need to worry about how much does Bongi Mbonambi has in the tank, but also do you risk going into that game with only Marco van Staden and Dion Fury as your hooker? So I'd be surprised if Bongi Mbonambi is named on the bench for this game to ensure that at least there is a proper hooker cup on the bench that also would allow a Marco van Staden, who's actually played very well in the 3 games, actually get a bit of rest, because also at some point you need to worry about, not let's say worry about the welfare of the players, but you also need to rest and rotate players. I mean, for example, the midfield should revert to the one that we saw against Romania with Andre Esterhazen and Kenan Wood starting Makazole Mapimpi coming back on. But I think the composition of the back three may also again necessitate the use of the four scrum offs, even though Faf de Klerk had his knees trapped up yesterday, but he wasn't moving with any sort of ill mobility. So I won't be surprised if a Faf de Klerk is named on the bench, as maybe a space scrum off. But I suspect that a Grant Williams should play. Number one, Jaden Henderson will play. He was put up for the press conference. So I suspect that most probably the guys been put up for press conferences have generally been the ones who come off the bench. So I'll be surprised if, let's say, a Grant Williams actually goes to scrum off and then a Jaden comes off the bench. And then a in the event that well, with Andre Pollard actually playing, then resting a Faf de Klerk does become a decent enough option. So I think up front, Jean Kane should be able to get a start. Amani Ori should be able to be in a position to get a start. Dwayne Fumilan should be in a position to play, having missed out entirely on the Ireland game. So, I mean, if those didn't play in its entirety, the Tonga game should be getting an opportunity to play, even though there is the need to win and win big. I should think that the Boxers, other players in the squad, should be in a position to drive home a big win.
Trux, thanks very much for your time. We'll leave it there. And yeah, do what you do all the time, and you've been brilliant. Thanks for having, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, guys.
Sim, I find this actual suggestion that there might actually be wholesale changes to the pack quite interesting, because I suppose also it's not actually all that surprising, because Nienaber has reiterated throughout that one of the big aims of this tournament specifically was to build depth. And well, I think even though, you know, the results didn't necessarily reflect it, we saw that these teams are basically interchangeable. When they are on song on the day, you know, it doesn't matter which Springbok pack actually goes out.
Yeah, look, they do have depth. It's just that they don't have it at hooker, if you know what I mean. If they did, you know, we probably wouldn't be sitting around with these, you know, with these permutations that we're sitting with. It is important. I mean, just to go back to your point about not wanting the intended quarterfinal starters to sit on their hands for 2 weeks. You know, when you look at the other guys who might be needed, obviously those guys need to play too. And they would have, you know, if they don't play, they would have been sitting on their hands for 3 weeks. So that's why it's quite important for them to, you know, to have a role. That, you know, the question mark just becomes, you know, how do you sort of factor that role in terms of who starts and then who, you know, who comes off the bench. But they do kind of need to, it's quite a strange situation where, one, you want to keep the guys that are your intended starters ticking over, and the second one, you want to sort of get the guys who are, you know, are backup sort of to the opposite sort of level that they're going to need to be. And then the third part is you need those guys that may, after the Irish game, have kind of like put up their hands in terms of, well, in absentia, because they, you know, they, exactly, their roles were missed. You know, you've got those guys that might then need to put up their hands, you know, in real time against Tonga to sort of, you know, basically make sure that, you know, we don't make weird mistakes like starting a test against the team with the fastest, you know, ruck speed in the world with one open side who's not really a fetcher. I mean, that's essentially what happened against Ireland. And as the penalty count told us, ultimately it was a big part of the difference.
I don't want to look too far forward, but keeping that in mind, I'm just wondering how important it then becomes to actually give Dwayne Vermeulen game time in this game. Because in my view, and even though we understood the logic of having Jasper starting against Ireland and almost like suggesting that he's sort of like very slightly usurped Dwayne now as the first choice number eight in this tournament. But I think if anything, like you mentioned, playing against an opponent that was really focused and really, really expedient at the breakdown, I'm just wondering if it sort of like doesn't place Dwayne back into contention actually to start in a quarterfinal again, simply because, not that, and we discussed it previously, that there might have been fears that Dwayne simply might not have kept up with the pace of the game, actually, and the breakdown battle at that stage against Ireland. But you're sort of like wondering, that's now been offset by the fact that he is a good poacher at the breakdown and also a guy that slows it down pretty well. Because I'm pretty sure when we get to a quarterfinal, regardless if it's France or New Zealand, it will be an area that's targeted again, especially if that triumvirate of Sia and Peter Steff are part of that loose trio. So would you believe that Dwayne is actually sort of like starting, funnily enough, and it's been a theme this whole season, actually, like every time when we sort of like think Dwayne is being phased out, suddenly he reemerges as like quite a key cog in this whole operation.
I must say that if he has sort of made claims, and personally I believe he has, the impressive thing is that it was an absentia. You've got to be some player to be able to sort of make your claims without even touching a rugby ball. So simply the difference between Dwayne and Jasper for me is obviously Jasper's got, playing loose forward is a young man's game, and he's got youth on his side, and he's got the robustness, the explosiveness. But geez, where Dwayne kind of like beats him hands down, forget the stuff he does on the ground. Dwayne's a very good line-out operator. Mm-hmm. And if we're being honest, although our line-out, had the beating of Ireland at the beginning, it just didn't have as many options, mm-hmm. maybe, in terms of, what they could do as a result. Maybe, I don't know if that resulted in us sort of only having our first rolling maul in the 70th minute. But, there's that aspect. Obviously, there's the very underrated aspect is contesting kicks by the opposition. It's just not a skill that Jasper has in his locker.
Exactly.
You basically are struggling. Your eight should be doing that job, and few people do that job better than Dwayne. And so I think it's one of the situations where you probably have to make the sacrifice in terms of he hasn't got the legs to sort of zip around, and you basically have to then empower him to sort of pick and choose his rucks that he is going to try and make a difference instead of, trying to make all of them at once. So that's fine. And then maybe that's exactly what you need up until halftime, where you can replace him with a Kwacha or, somebody speedier, but somebody who can also do the same job at the breakdown that you wouldn't be comfortable starting with the loose trio that you've got. So I think that's kind of the way the situation is. But we cannot go into another test match like with a tier one nation where, we've got one open side who's not really a fetcher, and your next best fetcher is Steven Kitsoff, who's a prop. And then you kind of look around and there's nothing else, by way of guys who can do it. And we can't do that again. And therefore, a guy like Dwayne comes back into the picture quite big time that way.
I'm going to conclude this episode by pulling your leg and getting your excitement up. You are a very big advocate and fan of Jaden Hendrickse, so Shrock's suggestion that he actually might start in this game must have you quite excited. I personally like the idea because I also believe he's arguably in that group of four, he's the most consummate halfback, like the real guy who just can keep everything on a string and control everything. And I suppose that's actually quite a decent trait to have in a game where things initially can be quite niggly and I almost want to say like disjointed. You know how those Pacific Islanders sometimes tend to play. It could be a really nice dynamic to just actually have the one real consummate calm head at halfback starting this game.
I like the fact that you think Jaden is the quintessential calm man at halfback. This is a guy who got sent off against the British and Irish Lions and...
Let's call it, he was still youth.
And
youthful zest.
Yakub Paper said to him, "Oh, you've got a lot to say for someone who's playing his first, Curry Cup final." This is during the COVID cups, if I should call it that. So look, obviously, I mean, it's on record that I think the world of this guy. The thing, maybe the best way to explain it is to explain what I like about him. Whenever he's on the park, I feel like our kicking game, which is one of the four sort of pillars of how, the Springboks try to win a game, it just feels under control. You know, with a guy like Faf, who's obviously the most experienced, has won a World Cup, with a guy like Faf, you always kind of, you don't know what you're going to get. It's literally, you know, Forrest Gump's mother's box of chocolate. And you don't know what you're going to get. And, you know, you might get that weird sort of sprayed pass to, you know, to Cheslin Kolbe in the opening exchanges against Ireland.
By the way, the weirdest pass I've seen in a Springbok jersey in ages.
Exactly. Or you might get, you know, you know, a box kick that's pinpoint. Where I really like Jaden is that not only does he, you know, does he get that aspect of the game right? He plays like a classical halfback. He support lines where he goes. I mean, I know Kobus Reinach does that, which is why he scores so many tries. Mm. But, you know, he's also a guy who's kind of like, he's got that awareness in terms of, like you say, he's a consummate halfback. He's literally a proper number nine. And there's no sort of fanfare. That's just, you know, it's just calm output on his side. That's why I really like him, but the, you know, the issue with him is that he's not an explosive guy, so you can't start him off the bench. So if you are going to play Jaden, and I think that's been his problem throughout the tournament or throughout maybe now his career, it's that, you know, whenever you're talking about starting someone in a big game, he's up against Faf, who's got so much experience. And the thing about Faf, you know, in case I was, you know, sounding him, making him sound like a guy who can't play, the thing about Faf is that, for all the crazy stuff that we point out, that's actually organized chaos. He, like a lot of the stuff he does, he's actually cleared with the coaches that he's going to attempt it. And when he does attempt it, it's kind of like almost in keeping with the boxers' approach of sort of organized chaos, where you look at them, you think, geez, they're running off the line so quickly. It's all part of the plan because, you know, the whole plan is to do X, Y, and Z in defense and so on and so on and so on. And so a guy like Faf is a very good guy to drive that kind of game. Maybe a guy like Jaden is probably too calm to be, you know, to be the driver, and maybe, you know, a touch slower to be able, you know, to do that kind of driving. So I don't know. I would have liked to see him get more chances, but he does need to get chances in case we do you know, go far in this tournament. And when it does, I don't think he's going to let anybody down, simply because, you know, if you've got control of your kicking game in the modern game, that's almost like half the battle won.
All will be revealed at 7 o'clock tonight when Jock Nienaber names his team for the Tonga clash. You can keep abreast of everything on News24 Sport. We've got you covered. Sim, as always, a pleasure. Thanks for being with us. Cheers, and man, we'll definitely have more stuff to talk about after that team sheet has been revealed. Thanks for joining us.